You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hi!
Welcome to Scam Wow!
I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
And I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams! Guys, again, we're in the same room. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. The sun is shining. It is California. I'm so happy Katie is here. It is great.
Just happy to be here. Okay, guys, this is such an exciting episode because not only are we needy bitches that constantly ask you to call us, email us, tell us your problems.
We love your love.
We love it. We have your love.
We have it for you right here.
Pages and pages of emails, Insta messages, phone calls.
We've aggregated them into a document and we're going to get them to you right now.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're just here with us in my living room. Relaxing, drinking multiple beverages.
Yeah, guys, if you need three beverages, you're in the right place.
You're in the right place.
We have water, seltzer, coffee, some pineapple.
Some Oreos.
Like we say in all of our episodes, like, go get a cupcake and come back.
Yeah, I mean, that's my life motto.
I really like it.
Get a cupcake and come back. That's going on a shirt, Katie.
That's a t-shirt.
Yee-yee-yee.
Oh, you guys. Okay, so getting down to business, our first email's from October 3rd by Sarah. Sarah says, hey guys, I saw this on Reddit and had to share. Thank you, Sarah. A wedding coordinator in LA scammed a couple out of $25,000. She told the couple everything was booked for their wedding, even going so far as to forge contracts and receipts.
Oh.
Jesus, forging is crazy.
Forging receipts, though, that's like labor intensive.
Yes. They showed up to church and the priest was not expecting them. There were no flowers or photographer. The priest married them anyway, but then they show up to the reception hall that wasn't booked either. Well, why would you go to that if you already knew that's wrong? No catering, no DJ, no cake, no tables, no chairs. The family ended up getting some of the food from a local restaurant, so guests had something to eat. She said, I'm currently planning my wedding, and this is my worst nightmare.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, and there's a huge Reddit thread, and so we'll put that in the show notes, too.
I can't imagine. And I also want to know what the Secret Life of Weddings ladies would say about this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a nightmare. Like,
that's insane.
To show up and there's nothing there. Imagine.
They said on this Reddit thing, a mutual friend recommended them.
Ugh.
So that's an absolute mess.
Ugh.
They couldn't go to their honeymoon because they had to pay off. It says on the Reddit thread, my best friend and her husband could not go on their honeymoon due to the things they had to pay off and a report was already made.
Yes. Oh my God.
Wow.
That's horrible. You guys, we'll link it in the show notes. There's also some other juicy wedding scams in there too.
And it's great. Yeah, it's on Reddit. Wedding shaming.
Ugh. All right. This next email is from Framo Lady.
Yeah, why not?
Framl Lady. She said, when you mentioned the order coming from a residential address, she's talking about Katie's ordering.
Oh, from my high chair.
A high chair and it coming from a residential address. It reminded me of a scam I shared on LinkedIn. Quick images of the scam post below. Okay, let's see. So she copied and pasted the job listing for me. And the job listing says, we ask you to review the chance to apply for a legitimate work from home work in logistics with a capital L. We provide a paycheck of up to $3,500 every month and do not require any experience to begin.
What a great job.
Sign me up.
I'll take it.
The job requires full-time employment and is proposed by a legitimate American internet company.
If you just say your company is legitimate American internet company, that's a problem.
No.
All those words, you shouldn't have to admit.
I think any of those come, yeah. Those words. Yeah.
This is a legitimate internet company. This is a legitimate American company. Yeah. Any of this.
Any of that, the scam. We propose this work from home since it has certain advantages for both us and our employees. We cut down on warehouse expenses while ensuring logistics points throughout the United States. Not capitalized there. What you will need to do, stay available at your home address from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the working days to collect mail.
Easy.
Handling the register of packages, duties, and shipping labels. Easy. Mm-hmm. Examine the parcels, take images of the products and send them.
Mm. Creepy if it's cocaine.
Repackage shipments if requested.
That's creepy.
Creepy. Forward them to end customers from the nearby FedEx agents.
So basically you're cutting down on the warehouse costs because you're making people's homes their own warehouse.
You are the warehouse.
You are the warehouse. Yeah, you're saving them warehouse dollars because your living room is the warehouse.
So if you want to be a warehouse.
Yeah, so simple.
$3,500 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like where Katie got her high chair from.
That is exactly where I got my high chair from.
All right. Our next email is from Maddie. Hi, Caitlin and Sue. My name is Mads, they, them. Firstly, I wanted to say that I adore your podcast. I've listened to every episode.
Thanks.
Perfect way to start an email.
We really need that. We need the love.
We do love.
So badly.
We're fragile artists. I recently got the scammiest voicemail attached. It reminded me of what happened to Abby Holland, but this time in voicemail format. P.S. I thought you should know that I love both of your voices. Your delivery comedy is one of the reasons I started listening to the podcast. Fuck anyone who says the dumb things in reviews about your voices. Keep it up. Mads, thank you.
Mads.
This is...
They are such a nice person.
Listeners, take note. This is a perfect email. It includes compliments, a scam... And more compliments. We love it. If only you had said we were beautiful.
Which, you know what? No one can tell because it's our voices.
But nobody's perfect. But, you know, you did a great
job.
You're
so nice. Let's play this creepy voicemail.
This call is from the Investigation Department of Social Security Administration. This is to inform you that your Social Security number is being suspended and there is an arrest warrant being issued under your name. To talk to an officer, press 1. I repeat, to know more about the case, press 1.
So creepy. No, first of all, that's a robot. That is not a real law person.
I hate it.
That's a robot, and we know that the government won't call you about this stuff.
Yeah, the government doesn't have your cell phone or care to call your cell.
No, the government wants to talk on the phone as much as you do.
Yeah, they love formal-ass letters. They love stationery.
Mm-hmm. They love being legit.
Yes, they love a watermark.
Oh, they love a seal.
They love a seal. Guys, do not worry. Okay, wait, I have a scam. Somebody stole my website, CaitlinBrodnick.com.
What?
Yes.
What do you mean? That's an original fucking
name. This is a real, I know, no one else has it. Thank God. So I'm on GoDaddy and GoDaddy is sending me tons of emails. And as a ScamWow respondent, I was like, oh, these are fake emails. Cause it's sort of not, no shade GoDaddy, but like the email that it was coming from had like a bunch of numbers in
GoDaddy,
it.
GoDaddy doesn't have the worst or the best it like
wasn't
branding.
Like, no, it wasn't like the prettiest. It just sort of seemed slightly shady. And we've been dealing with so many of these fake spam things that a lot of it went to my spam folder.
Yeah.
So apparently my domain was coming up and they said they wanted to charge it again on my credit card. But I have other domains registered with them. So I thought it was weird that they kept sending me this one email because I was like, well, my credit card is linked. Like I just thought it was confusing. And then I just ignored it because I thought it was spam. And then for 2 weeks, I didn't have a website. I didn't even realize it. I guess I don't check my own website enough. And my name was up for, it was free. And someone in Korea bought it.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I called and I tried to like re-register. And they're like, well, sorry, the name's already taken. So now instead of CaitlinBrodnick.com, I'm CaitlinBrodnick.co, which is like so embarrassing.
They stole your website.
They stole my M, the com. And so
they stole
it. So they said, I said like, GoDaddy, why aren't you guys why wouldn't you personally like reach out? Like, why wouldn't you double check this? If this is someone's name and you see that, and I help, my website's all about like helping women talk about like breast cancer. I was like, why won't you check on that for me? And why aren't there checks and balances? And they're like, well, that's your responsibility. And I was like, but how do I know if somebody is like, anyway, I was so angry. I like cried on the phone. I was so mad at the guy. I told him, I was like, I run a podcast about scams. And so this looked really fucking scammy. Yeah. Like nothing about what you guys were sending me felt legitimate at all.
Yeah.
There was no letter in the mail. There's not like none of this real stuff. And he was like, look, I'm really sorry. Now he's an avid listener. Shout out to GoDaddy support guy. But
the daddy at GoDaddy.
Daddy at GoDaddy. Thank you. And so we... So now he said, he gave me the email address associated with the new account. And he said, you could reach out to them and say, can you please give my website back? And I was like, I don't know if I want to email that person in Korea and create like a whole relationship with them because like, I don't like talking to scammers. I don't know. And I don't want to give them attention. And then recently, so I didn't do anything because I was like, it's too late. It's frustrating. I was really mad. I signed up for GoDaddy.co. I mean, CaitlinBronick.co with GoDaddy, which sucks. And then I started getting these weird automatic messages that says, we have your website. We'll give it to you for a certain amount of money. So I guess they were waiting for me to discover that they had bought it and then to try and fight it.
So you can buy it back.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm like, you know what? Keep it.
You got to go to Korea and get that M back.
I know. But I'm also like, keep it, guys. Like,
have fun.
Fine. You know, what are you going to do?
I have that. Mine is SueSmithComedy.com. Plugs all over the place. And I've tried for years to get SueSmith.com, but somebody owns it. And I've...
Won't give it up, right?
Yeah. I've emailed the guy and asked to buy it. And he has been like, it's not for sale. And I'm like, who are you?
That's so creepy.
It's a random person.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And it just has, I think it just has like banner ads and shit on it. And he just makes money that way.
So I have this email and like, guys, write us in, let us know. Do you think I should contact him? Is it going to be a huge can of worms? Do you think like it's going to get into, I just don't want to start emailing them and then they get my email address.
I think he's going to ask you for like $5,000.
Same. And yeah. I want to say like, look, I'm going to put all of this.
That's so lame.
I guess I could, we could email them from ScamWow. I could put all of the records.
Yeah, we could say we're doing an episode.
Yeah, and like see what happens and track it. But I also like don't want to then, which is weird, is that then if I have to buy the website, I have to buy it from this person.
Yeah.
And I don't feel comfortable doing any kind of monetary transaction with this person. I feel like I could get hacked working with them. Like if I pay them, then they'll have my credit card information. Like I feel too creeped out.
Listen, the day you are born, you should get the fucking URL to your name.
I need to get my son's URL.
That is a birthright.
Oh, shit.
You better get.
That's how they found out baby names of like all famous people, because all of a sudden like Jay-Z will start registering like certain names. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Hot.
I know.
Hot tip.
All right. I'll get my son's name. But then you have like his whole life. I'm like paying like I pay his, you know, medical bills, insurance, all these things. Then I pay his internet fee.
Yeah. Ugh. Another bill for the kid.
Another bill for the baby. Yeah. So guys, that's a real thing that happened. Okay. Back to you.
Back to you.
Okay. This is from Kristen. Kristen said, hi, ladies. I discovered your podcast about a month ago and I've started listening from the beginning. Oh, thank you. I love you guys. You're so amazing and fun and so real.
Whoa, we're almost at perfect email territory.
Thank you so much.
Wow, wow, wow.
There's so many times where I could directly relate to you and I feel like you guys are my actual friends. We are. That's a fact. Sorry, that sounds stalkerish. Haha. It isn't. We're friends.
We love it.
My husband makes fun of me because I'm constantly listening to you while I do other things. And he always asks me for a summary on the podcast because he's totally into scams too.
Great.
Great. We hope it's a good summary because, you know, we're like light with our facts.
Yeah.
Okay. She said, Caitlin, I'm from Maryland too. Oh my God. I grew up in Montgomery and Howard counties and I'm currently teaching in Howard. Oh my God. She says, I cried like a small child when you talked about the birth of your son and how traumatic it was. And I'm a fellow survivor of birth trauma. Oh, geez. Without going into details, I also feel like I have PTSD from the whole experience. And I'm sending a virtual hug your way. You aren't alone. Oh, my. This is so sweet. Thank you. And I'm so sorry this happened to you. But I'm so sorry. None of us are alone in this. And we can talk about it.
Yeah.
She then says, if you choose to have another child, all I can say is make sure that you let everyone know exactly what happened in your last birth so that they're prepared for all possibilities. That's great. That's such a good idea. I'm going to say, everybody, the cord was around his neck. And
listen bitches,
the cord was around my baby's neck,
so you fucking listen to me.
I'm in control.
Yes.
And I want him. I need him immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, those are all really good ideas. She then says, this is great, guys. This basically, we're having a conversation with this listener right now. Thank you all for listening. She said, I have been meaning to write you guys for a while, but I had to stop immediately to write this email because I'm listening to episode 40 and you mentioned Leisure World. And when Sue stopped you to ask what it was, I burst out laughing. Of course, everyone knows what Leisure World is, right? I had no idea that it was just a Maryland thing. I didn't either. I have had a few grandparents and family friends live in Leisure World and it's amazing, but I also do feel like it's probably ripe with scams because old people are taken advantage of so easily. Oh, so watch out for those scams, Grandma. True. She says, I don't have any scans to report, but I just had to write you both and let you know how awesome you are and that you have a mother of three in Maryland, teacher fan fanatic. Ugh, thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
So nice. So you're nice. So sweet. Mother of three, you're a hero.
That's almost perfect email.
Perfect for me. Perfect. Is it Caitlin perfect?
It's
very okay. Catered
it's
to Caitlin.
Almost perfect.
It's almost okay. Thank you.
All right. Our next email is from Rachel. Oh, this is about Nestle and baby formulas. Ooh. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, there's so much juice here.
Literal
milk juice that we are going to go into it in more detail.
Yeah,
but
Rachel,
thank you, Rachel.
Rachel sent us a thing about a Nestle, a boycott about Nestle. And so we were looking into the scam and the issue started from like the 1930s. So we're going to have a full blown episode of this, but thank you so much for alerting us to this.
Yes, I really appreciate it. And another one that we're going to do a full episode on is from a girl named Leah, and she alerted us to something that's political. It's about the GoFundMe that was started by a private citizen for building a wall with Mexico. And you know what? Leah laid out all the research for me, so I had to do the research. I couldn't not do an episode on it.
Episode coming soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah.
Guys, also, if you have any problems with our research, you can send
you
us
can research. Do the research for us. Yeah, if you want to do the research for us, we'll probably do an episode on it.
If you want to be a scam spondent, we'll read your everything.
Absolutely.
It's probably our dream.
That would be great.
Our listeners are so smart.
Yeah, you guys are very smart.
Okay, another one. Wait, this is from Anonymous. Hello, I just discovered your show and absolutely love it. Thank you. Let me get into my scam experience. About 3 years ago, I worked for an IT-based organization. I was with them for about 3.5 years. The organization offered software and protective access to applications that were owned by the client. So my organization created a secure database where the customer can log in and access their company's applications. Okay, sounds normal.
Yeah.
My organization launched a new product in which I was the lead. The project allowed customers to purchase subscriptions to access every reputable organization's applications so that the customer can perform work for them. I don't really understand. The scam was that the package automatically came with two built-in subscriptions. There were many customers that worked for small companies, or that customer would have been the only one within their organization. The subscriptions expiration clock started upon purchase. If only one subscription was activated, the unused subscription still expired with the activated one because the subscription's expiration clock started upon purchase. There was no fine print about this. The customers were instructed to purchase a renewal package after expiration. Mind you, the first package was $200. I think what she's saying is that you bought actually two things automatically, and every time you had to renew, you're renewing something that you weren't really using.
Right, exactly. Like it's a software that comes with a subscription auto renew.
Yeah, and it's for two when you really are only, because they're built ins, right?
Yeah.
So there's two built into the package. You're really only knowing about renewing one. And that just sucks that there's no fine print about that. Also, she writes, if a customer didn't purchase a subscription under the correct web store code, then their subscription would get stuck in the system and have to be manually pushed by itself and the IT team. However, we didn't receive alerts for this, and neither did the customers. Some customers wouldn't know about this until they went to activate the subscription and received an error, or the subscription would have already expired. Oh, so they can't even use the product.
No.
And there was no checks and balances at all associated with it. She has said, I have more scams associated to this organization and personal. Keep on exposing these fraudulent players. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This reminded me that I almost got scammed this week by LegalZoom. Don't sue me, LegalZoom. Okay. So my husband and I started an LLC for our freelance writing business. And you have no idea what that means.
I don't get it.
Just a, like, whatever. So LegalZoom's like, whatever. or they're like, we'll take care of it all. All you do is this, this, and this. You need to pay for a registered agent and then you need to pay for whatever. So our subscription for the registered agent was up and they charged us $400 what? Without warning us. So I called them and I was like, why did you charge for this? And he was like, well, that's for your registered agent thing. And I was like, I'm looking on the website. It says the price for that is $299. What else did you charge me for?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we bundled in the common documents. Like, apparently you have access to like these documents you need.
Like, can't you just print them out and scan them on your own computer?
Like NDAs and shit like that. So like boilerplate shit that you can use from LegalZoom. And I was like, well, you didn't tell me or give me that option. So they refunded me that. But then I was looking and the $299 and it's like, that includes those documents. So I don't know why he upcharged us. And also this registered agent thing. So like you have to have something registered for the government saying that there will be a person at this address during all business hours.
I see, yes.
So like
a legitimate address.
Right. So you can either use your address and like have your address be public, mm-hmm. and like,
oh, that's risky.
And then you might not be home or whatever, or you can use LegalZoom to do it. And LegalZoom like puts the fear of God in you. And yes. They're like, so we'll do it for you. You pay us $300 a year and we'll do it for you. When in reality, you probably don't need it.
No, and your address is probably public anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's probably out there. Basically, the advice I have from this is that you have to double check.
Businesses want to screw you.
Businesses want to screw you.
That's so America.
I know. Okay, guys, we have some Instagram messages. Woo! Okay, this is, hi, I just found your podcast yesterday and finished the 2 TanaCon episodes. So regarding Shane Dawson's conspiracy theories, that is a scam in and of itself. The YouTube's algorithm was found to be promoting misinformation bot videos. So huge influencers like Shane Dawson are gaming the algorithm by making videos about the conspiracy theories for click money.
Yes.
And also further legitimization misinformation. The scam is twofold. Number one, Shane is doing this for profit. He'll talk about whatever gets views. Number two, YouTube's financial incentive is to keep people on the site as long as possible. Then she said, actually, there's a third fold. Number three is the extremist ideology on a huge platform.
And then she sent some sources and she's absolutely right. She sent some actual research by a woman named Joan Donovan. We'll link those. She sent some actual research and she made an interesting point as well that Shane dropped the palette called the conspiracy palette. So like feeding into this idea that YouTube is just promoting shit for clicks, like promoting conspiracy videos for clicks because that's clickbaity. That's what he named his palette and his whole fucking line.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Okay, so we have these amazing links. Okay, we're going to loop back on this, but thank you so much for the heads up.
We will circle back.
We will circle back. And you know, I will tell you, like, YouTube is doing this thing with me where now, thanks to Mackenzie Thomas, we'll always blame her. Sue and I are addicted to YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'll start watching something and it'll say, like, you might like this video. And guess what? I do like this video.
I do.
It's 100% what I like. It's like there's like a couple things I like of this one YouTuber. And then they, for some reason, well, they know exactly what's so attractive about it.
Yeah.
Like this one YouTuber cleans her whole house really quickly and it's so satisfying.
Yeah.
But also she does DIY. So then they show me another YouTuber who's doing the same thing and it's maybe with prettier colors. Like, I'm going to love it.
I love a transformation.
I love a quick clean.
Yes.
Yeah. I showed it to my sister this morning. I got her hooked. So now I'm an influencer.
You influenced her.
I did.
And I heard a theory. You know how we are always like Instagram is listening because of the ads they give us? Okay. And the ads are always like spot on. And yes. They're like, I want this. I heard a theory that it's like, no, maybe this was in that documentary about Cambridge Analytica. It's like, no, they're not listening. They're just that good at predicting what
and
you
you're
will
that
like.
Basic? It might be. I don't know. They keep saying that, like,
I mean, I am.
They keep saying like people like it's not that hard. Like we can tell what you like.
Yeah, we can tell what you like. I mean, but some of it's so. I am that basic, Katie. I
no, I didn't mean to call it to. I meant people in general are basic.
Listen,
she loves avocado
toast. An avocado is an avocado.
My son was an avocado for Halloween.
Oh, I saw that. It was so cute.
He was so cute. And Halloween, guys, quick little plug about how much I love my son. He handed other kids candy because he thought it wasn't that he just got it. He thought it was an act of giving as well. Oh. So he was giving other kids candy from his candy.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I can't handle it. I know. Oh. What a little good boy. Oh. Okay. Back to you guys.
All right. Okay. We got another Instagram message and she says, listening to your podcast about the opioid epidemic now, and I thought I'd share this article. There was a big push as pain as the fifth vital sign. It was huge when I was first out of nursing school in 2001. We were taught pain is whatever the patient says it is.
Yes, that's what my friend said.
Ugh. I know most of this was geared towards cancer patients, but it took off for every patient. So much so that regulating bodies like the State Department and Joint Commission were following our documentation, and the hospital would get dinged if we didn't have proper documentation about measuring pain and then treating it within a half hour and seeing that pain number go down. Ugh.
I kind of agree.
Thanks for all your hard work.
Yeah. It's so tricky. I mean, I think you have to be in there if you see people like, you have to be there firsthand, but I would say, I think there's like probably good intention behind it.
Yeah.
Because whenever I'm in the hospital, if they don't treat the pain quickly, if like the pain's going slowly, like that's a huge issue too.
I know.
If that person's in a lot of pain.
She sent an article that we'll link, of course, but also it's so weird that the government would monitor that. Like, why is the government so on their asses about that though?
That's weird.
That's creepy.
Everything's weird, but I don't hate on the doctors and staff for being like, let's get this as fast as possible and as fixed as possible, because they're trying to do their job. They want to fix you. But then the weird documentation, do you think the documentation is so that they don't then get sued?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she says regulating bodies like the State Department and Joint Commission were following our documentation and the hospital would get dinged if we didn't have proper documentation. Like, doesn't the State Department have better shit to do than worry? I don't know.
No, I think there's so many people working everywhere that they're like, you know what? Throw this in.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's very creepy. And I think it's a conspiracy.
Okay.
Shane Dawson, do a video.
Oh, this was so crazy because it has nothing to do with our lives. So I thought it was fascinating. She says, hello, I love your show. I've just found out about an insane scam that I have to share. I just graduated from an elite university in England and returned to visit friends who were still there yesterday. Freshman week has just ended, which generally involves lots of fun activities and information sessions to help new students get settled in. Cool. As well as official/old-fashioned events centered around enrolling as a student. My friend, who is a member of the student union responsible for students' welfare and welcoming party, told me this story. So all of the freshmen arrived on the first day of Freshers Week and signed in to receive the keys to their rooms, etc. On the first evening, there's a church service in the college chapel for freshers and their families. And then when everyone leaves the church, the families go home and the freshers meet their quote, college parents who are mentors in the year above and who do the same subject as their, quote, children. Yeah, it's like a biggie or small, you know. My friend who told me this story is in charge of assigning children's to parents. This is freshmen to older upperclassmen and managing the process to make sure everyone gets matched up properly. College families coming together can be quite chaotic, with people clamoring to find their family members who they never met before. And so my friend was supervising and making sure everyone was matched up okay. This guy called Daryl approached him and said that he couldn't find his college parents. He told my friend that he had his entry deferred from October, when everyone else starts, to March 2020 for health reasons. This is completely unheard of, and if anyone had such serious health issues, they should have to defer their studies for that amount of time. If anyone has such serious health issues that they would have to defer their studies to that amount of time, my university would definitely defer their entry for an entire academic year. It would be impossible to catch up with what you had missed, and the structure of the degree overall wouldn't work. Okay, that makes sense. So Daryl is saying that he deferred just a couple months and wants to come back in, and he said he wants to find, you know, his college student parents. Family. Yeah. However, although he knew that this was very unlikely that this was the case, my friend took Daryl at his word He is very sensitive and considerate and would never pry into sensitive issues. I get that. Of that nature and his role in the student union or personal capacity. So my friend and his, quote, college wife, quote, adopted Daryl so that he wouldn't feel left out. Daryl told him that he had to come along for Freshers Week in order to get involved, but he was staying in an Airbnb for a few days in order to matriculate. This word she keeps using.
Matriculate?
Sorry, I don't know, guys. And would then be returning home before beginning his studies in March. My friend assumed that Daryl's entry being deferred was the reason why he hadn't been assigned to a family and that he wanted to make sure he didn't feel left out so he could include him in all the activities. The next day, all the freshers matriculated and then had a formal dinner afterwards. Matriculation involves everyone sitting in a hall together and then one by one in alphabetical order coming up to the front to sign a piece of paper to matriculate officially. This is very formal. Mm-hmm. Daryl couldn't matriculate because his name wasn't on the list of freshers. He waited until the end, according to eyewitnesses, pretended to sign his name in the gap below the name of every last person whose name actually was on the list. He complained to my friend about this, who then panicked and tried to make a last-minute arrangements for Daryl to have a seat for a formal dinner at the evening. God, he's working so hard. While he was trying to do this, my friend ran into a high-ranking official at the college and explained the situation to him, and he told my friend that there was no way Daryl could have his name on the list and that he was not enrolling that year and that there was no way he could have been allowed to defer an entire year, which is what she expected. He checked the records and Daryl had never been accepted as a college student. Daryl was immediately asked to leave the college. Daryl had said that he was from Singapore and another student from East Asia who had a friend who grew up in Singapore found out that Daryl has a history of doing things like this. I guess in Singapore, he apparently pretended to be a student at a private school in Singapore for about 6 months before he was found out. He is extremely wealthy and has a large collection of expensive cars despite having only been able to drive for a year. His social media posts over the summer had been exceedingly talking about how he was about to start at my university. He immediately went to Madrid once he was found out and has said on social media that he is taking a break from his mental health for a few weeks before starting university. I really can't believe how insane this scam is, but the impression is I've gotten from all of this is that someone with some serious issues, too much money and no decent support system behind him to discourage him from doing things like this. I'm still gobsmacked, but I do generally hope he can get to a place where he doesn't feel like he has to do these things. And there's a Varsity News article about it.
Oh my gosh.
So this sounds so crazy because basically this person is just scamming to get like a couple months at a university for free dinner.
It's so weird.
Yeah. It's almost as... Well, it's not as horrible as those Instagram fake baby people, but like this is a new thing happening in social media that people just really deeply want to be included.
I guess, but why would he like go to the place from Singapore, like go to London and do all this work?
I don't know.
If he knew he was going to found out,
and
get
this
found
was
out.
Just to like have a free dinner.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe it also sounds like he's really active on social media, so he really just wants to have this experience.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he wants all roads lead back to Caroline.
He wants like her.
He wants to have like
a story.
Yeah. Like
he wants a book deal to then never write.
Yes, exactly.
He wants to do fake Matisse, just like Caroline.
Just like all roads lead all back roads lead to her. We mention her in every
almost
episode.
Every episode. We've had to cut out talking about her.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's
Everyone's
ridiculous.
Obsessed with her and we just can't. It's too much.
We
want her to be a guest finally. Just
yes,
come on, Caroline.
Just come on. We don't think you're a scammer.
We think you're complicated.
We think you're interesting.
Yeah. At times boring, but that's fine.
That's fine. We think you have a lot of emotional pain.
Yeah.
But so do we.
So do we.
All right.
Okay.
This next Instagram message.
Was very sad.
It's very sad. Warning you. Listening to the opioid epidemic episode, I lost my sister in 2017 to opiates. I have to wonder if our involvement in Afghanistan has something to do with Purdue Pharma. Poppy fields are abundant in Afghanistan. Opium is heroin. The UK and USA both have a long history with it. Look at the opium wars in which the UK basically bullied China. And I also think that the opioid epidemic is one symptom of a much larger problem, and that is economic political inequality. We have no hope as a generation thanks to predatory student loans, stagnant wages, and unaffordable housing. So what do you do to cope? You get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a physician. He is old school, though. He was trained as a DO as opposed to MD. He sits down with patients, asks questions, listens, and answers all the questions no matter how long it takes. I think that's doctor of osteopathy.
I have no idea.
Osteopathy instead of medical doctor.
I don't know. She also told us this. Well, first of all, we want to say we're so sorry.
So sorry
that this happened to your sister. And also, it must be just terrible that your father's in the medical industry and this also happened. Has to happen to his daughter.
I can't
imagine.
So
sad. And of course, she's telling us this anonymously. And we just, I think that's a really good question. And we could definitely, I'm sure there's a historian out there that knows all about
Afghanistan. This,
well, and also like, I mean, the early from the beginning of China, they have been basically going to these other countries, farming out these products.
Yeah.
Basically like herbs and heroin and poppies. And then complaining about it later.
I mean, that would be a good scam for us to research, is whether Afghanistan is somehow linked to opium.
Yeah, it'd be good for us to research. Then we will be like followed by the government and they're gonna like, you know,
oh yeah, the
track us forever. Yeah, it's fine. Also, though, this amazing listener has told us that there is a huge issue in Mexico with the drug cartel and avocados.
Your son better not be part of this industry.
My son, guys.
He's just a little baby avocado.
He's a baby avocado. He is not associated with the cartel of Mexico. But this is a whole nother thing, too. So thank you, listener. This is a lot to look at. And we really appreciate you reaching out to us. And we want to study this some more. So thank you so much. And we are so sorry for your loss.
What she said about the avocados is that the avocado industry is valued at about $1 billion. And unfortunately, a lot of Mexico has fallen under the control of the drug cartels. They are extremely violent and brutal. No mercy for kids, babies, pregnant women. They will drive around the country looking for villages to torture and murder just to exert their power and control. So yeah, those people are controlling avocados.
It's terrible.
But I love avocado toast. I'm so basic.
But also, there's a lot of avocados in California, right? A lot of people I know have avocado trees.
I know. My friend Phil has one. So
yeah, so just go to his house. Okay, we have another one. This is a scam alert. The medical industry was prescribed an anxiety... Okay. Oh, this is from somebody personally. Yeah. She was prescribed an anxiety medication 7 years ago. The medication is called Celexa, and it's a very low-grade anti-anxiety / antidepressant.
Hooray for meds.
Yeah, we love. We are both on them. I'm now required to go to the doctor twice a year. Insurance covers one visit to see the doctor for 10 minutes for them to send a note to the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. To my delight, my first visit of the year, I was charged because the doctor asked about my anxiety, which upset me, so I switched doctors. The new doctor left, and everything defaulted to the old doctor, who refused my prescription, thus requiring me to go into the office. I went in and had a 10-minute appointment, and today I received a bill for $95. No. $95 for a 10-minute appointment I had to go in order to receive a mind-altering medication I cannot go a day without. If that isn't a scam, I don't know what is. Doctors prescribe medications for kickbacks and require you to spend more money in order to continue it. I know this is long, but I'm sure I cannot be the only person with this experience.
Ugh.
It's hard. So, okay, I don't know about the kickback thing. Like, I can't say, and yeah, I can't say
that. We can't validate
I don't know
that.
About that. But I am saying it is super hard. I'm also in medicine, and I have to go in, and I have to see with my doctor, and I have to pay her immediately. And it's so stressful for something that we all know I need to keep taking.
Yeah.
And if I don't take it, it really hurts me.
This is a hot tip that was told to me by a clinic doctor a couple of years ago. Like, I was religiously going to, what's that clinic? This clinic in Union Square.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Yeah. To get my medicine like every like 90 days or whatever. And she was like, you can just go to your primary care doctor.
Can you?
For your antidepressants. Yeah. And that's what I've been doing. So like, or like I go to one medical and it's like an app and they're very good and they always prescribe my meds too.
Really?
And that like they'll prescribe my meds and the same like doctor will like give me a vagina.
Wow.
Yeah, so your primary care doctor can prescribe
but
your meds.
But don't you have to keep checking? Because I also just like want my like therapy wise, I want to like check in with the same person.
I do therapy with like a regular person because okay. I feel like when you go to a meds doctor, they're on a fucking clock.
They
you
are.
Know what I mean? Yeah. They got to get you in and out. So
yeah, well, I've had to. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard. I know it's so tough. It's so scammy. But then also we're talking about the opioid crisis. And that's when a lot of people are kind of scamming those doctors and yeah. take all the pills and then sell them.
Yeah.
So it's just so any mind altering
altering
altering substance is going to get us all in trouble.
Yeah.
That's It'll save us, but also get us all in trouble.
But like, be honest with your regular doctor and see if she will give you your depression meds, because yes. maybe she will.
Yes. Okay. This is great. We just got a quick Instagram message. I absolutely love your podcast. Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, I got a job offer. This company sent me a barrage of emails telling me they found my resume online and I was qualified for two positions, a real estate assistant or construction supervisor. But rest assured, both of these are drastically different positions, paid the same. They're both paid $4,000 annually?
Once a year?
Once a year? 2 weeks and 10 emails begging for my response later, the email stopped. Also, the second I hit the follow button on your page, this was my bar of suggested pages. Oh, and she shows us a picture of like Mary Kay and all these like scammy things. It's so funny. We'll post it.
I love
it. It's amazing.
Now we have some voicemails.
Voicemails, my favorite part.
They're all my favorite.
Also, if you guys have any questions, you can always call us on our hot tip hotline, which is
347-509-9414.
Hi, this is Ari. I'm calling for Scam Wow. One day, I hope you do an episode of Scammers. Where are they now? Because I've lived life on the internet for a good, 20-ish years now. I've seen various internet weirdos come and go. My personal favorite is at the height of the housing bubble, a C7. Just some dude with a dream who thought he could buy up as much as possible and take up Tim Ferriss-like platitudes, and it's all good his way to the top. So look him up, because I'm dying to know what happened to him now. Have a good night, ladies. Bye. I am artistic_arson on Instagram.
Ooh, artistic. Thank you, Ari. Arson. So whoever she's talking about, Ari, it cut out for us. I'm very sorry, but thank you for calling in.
We couldn't. Sorry, honey. The message got really blurry, but we think you're talking about the guy who was in that famous documentary.
David Siegel.
Yes, and he has like a ton of kids and his wife. Looks kind of nuts, but apparently she's very nice.
The Queen of Versailles documentary we're talking about. If you haven't seen it, you simply must.
It's so great. And basically he bought a bunch of stuff and was going to buy the like most expensive home in America, but the bubble crashed. The housing market crashed while he was in the middle of building it.
Yeah, so then his house just like stops construction
and it's just derelict and terrible, and these kids are running around. It's so sad. But yeah, I wonder where they are right now. That's a good question.
That is a great question. Let's look into it.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Also, if any of you guys are from Florida and you know that family, tell us.
Oh my gosh,
how are they doing? What's happening?
We're dying to know.
All
right, we got another voicemail. Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Leah, and this is a message for the Scam Wow podcast. I'm a new listener. And I haven't quite worked my way through the entire catalog yet, so maybe this scam has already been covered and I don't know it. But I wanted to bring up the scam that is the clear bag policy at the sporting events and musical arenas, because I feel like it is the biggest joke and kind of a front to women and a way to take away some of our privacy amongst other ridiculous regulations. The clear bag policy is ridiculous. If anyone wants to dish on clear bags, I'm happy to do so. My number is 402-699.
Oh, God. No, 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 no.
We'll beep that out.
Thank you, Leah.
Leah, we're protecting you. Leah, no.
Oh, don't give the internet your phone number.
Leah, we love you. We love you too much to do that to you. Leah, we're your support girls. We're your wing girls when you're at that bar.
Yes.
Don't talk to him. Don't give him your number.
No. Don't believe it.
Yes, that is. I think that could be a scam. And I just went to Humble Brag, a concert.
What was it? What did you go to?
Oh, this is it's a Phil Collins concert.
Oh!
My best friend from college, our best friend Matt, loves Phil Collins, and we all make fun of him. And
yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Alan hates him, and he was in town, and one of our friends, Devin, got like strep throat and couldn't go see Phil Collins. And so they're like, Kate, do you want to go? And I'm home with the baby all day. I was like, yeah, I'd love to be in a room with adults. So we went, and it was really fun. But the scam there is that at the concert, and I think it's for like sports games, you have to take the cap off of your drink.
What?
You're not allowed to have plastic caps, and I guess people throw them. But here's the thing. As soon as she took the plastic thing off my drink, I was like, I'm going to spill this. And then I'm going to have to come back and spend another $7 on another drink.
Yeah.
But the Phil Collins, it was all people like over 40, decked down in their Phil Collins gear, very happy to see the show. But I don't think any of these people are going to be throwing bottle caps at Phil Collins.
It's not going
to
get that rowdy.
The guy isn't that strong anyway. I mean, he's hobbling along. Sings great. His son, though, was the star of the concert.
Who's his son?
His son's some 14 or 15-year-old.
Yeah.
He's maybe 18. He's an incredible drummer, and he drummed what Phil Collins drummed when he was younger, and it was so great.
I bet we can find him on TikTok.
He's great. He's so great. He's beautiful. He's talented, and Phil's really proud of his son. Oh. But anyway, the drinks were okay. Not that I'm a fan, but the drinks, what the caps were a scam, and I think, yeah, the clear plastic bags.
So she's saying that stadiums won't let you in unless you have a clear plastic bag.
Yeah, and I think because also
you can't take purses or anything.
Yeah, and you have to buy a bag, or they might be selling them too.
I don't know, but.
But also guns.
Guns.
And knives. Exactly. I know. Also,
I was like, this
guns.
Is going to get dark. Guns.
Guns. Like, I am genuinely afraid of guns, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Even if it is a scam, it's a scam that, like, I'm, like, fine with.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
I mean, the bottle cap really upset me, but this doesn't.
It's not a hill
you can't hide
die
a gun
on.
In a bottle cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, but thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling, because we love you.
Yes.
Hi, this is for the show Scam Wow. I actually just started listening to it today. I just wanted to leave a scam that I was recently involved in, unfortunately, and it cost me $5,100. I really just want to tell you about the scam so that it could be on your show and hopefully reaches a lot of listeners, so they can warn them, as it is an ongoing scam with Social Security and a phone call made from boiler rooms in India to scare you into giving your information as well as pull out your money and secure it in a digital bond to secure you until the Social Security Administration administers you a new Social Security number. I unfortunately fell for the scam, and it really hurt me, and I unfortunately gave them every penny that I own. So I did just want to either talk to you girls on Scam Wow about it to tell you more in detail, or if you could just even mention it on your show. I really think it's something that would benefit a lot of Americans. As a detective I talked to informed me that last year over $20 million was scammed from U.S. citizens. Anyways, if you'd like to reach me, my phone number is 760.
No, that's your number. No, thank you so much. We're so sorry. That sounds exactly like what happened to Abby. And
we have an episode if you are a new listener. Abby Holland came in. She's one of our favorite guests. And she explained how she got completely scammed and so overwhelmed. And the same sort of thing. She had like these multiple level, she's on these phone calls and everybody said that it was somebody in the Department of Treasury, and the person had an Indian accent, and the person at the Department of Treasury who is a real person has an Indian name, but that person was faking. It was
that person's name.
Lying. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really intense story, but don't feel bad.
It's
not your fault.
Then they do this as there's so many tactics, I feel like, that they know how to, when people are a little bit nervous and a little bit confused, to actually scare you and to keep going with them.
Yeah.
And it's just all based on fear, and it's all very traumatic. And
so traumatic.
I feel like that's going to be a new level of PTSD for people.
Yeah.
Like it's a really terrible thing to go through.
And there's so much shame and like, ugh.
We had a guest who then decided not to come on because he had that experience with a member of his family.
Yeah.
And he just was too upset then to talk about it because he was worried that it would scar that person even more because there's so much embarrassment.
And it happened to my stepdad when he like gave them money and went to the bank to do a wire transfer. And then my mom was like, wait, what are you doing? But he felt so stupid. He didn't even want to tell me. Like,
of course you don't want to tell anybody because they make you feel stupid if you don't help them. And then afterwards you feel stupid for being compassionate. I mean, I think they really pry on your compassion.
I know.
Or paranoia.
Yeah.
So sorry that happened to you, but thank you for
calling in
and we'll definitely
everyone beware of this. The government will not call you on the phone.
Yeah, the government doesn't want to talk to you on the phone. They're going to send you official documents.
Official documents. They love a seal.
They love a seal. They love a watermark.
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm looking to leave a message for the Scam Wow podcast. My name is Nate. I just finished listening to your recent episode about listener questions or listener scams. And that woman who called in about the gravity blanket or the weighted blanket, I just thought it was interesting because that gravity blanket with the Kickstarter project is actually, I think the creator or the founder of that company is John Fiorentino, who is actually a friend of Caroline Calloway's. I just thought it was an interesting connection. I'm not sure if she mentioned it or not or knew about that or not. But I just think it's kind of interesting that scammers kind of hang out together and run in the same circle. So scams beget scams. All right. Thanks, guys. I just thought it was an interesting tidbit. Bye.
Thanks, wow. Nate.
Nate, that was from Katie Jo, who then sent us, she was so sweet, she sent us security blankets.
She sent us those gravity blankets. Yes, yeah, so the weighted blankets. Nice. That's very nice of her.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
So to recap, like Katie Jo's dad started a gravity blanket.
The first one ever.
The first one ever, because it's a really sweet story. She had a Beanie Baby on her, she would sleep with a Beanie Baby on her chest and it like made her feel more secure. So he started a blanket that was like that. He created a blanket like that. And then this other company starts a Kickstarter and they're scammy. And the guy who owns it is friends with Caroline Calloway because scammers. All roads lead back to Caroline Calloway.
And scammers love scammers.
Yeah.
Wow. But what makes me most happy is that we have listeners that are connecting to each other via our podcast. That makes me so happy. I'm like, let's connect.
I thought that you were going to say that we have a male listener.
We have a male listener, but also that they are now helping each other
each
out.
Each other. Yes. I love it. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
All right. This one is a three-parter.
Hi, this is for Scam Wow Podcast. Hi, Katie. Hi, Sue. First of all, I just want to say I love you guys' podcast. I have been listening to it like nonstop for the last couple days. And there was a particular episode, honestly, I can't remember which one because I've just been binging so many of them, where you all talked about the Kardashians and how you all think that they are like great. And specifically, you talked about Kim and how she's done like great things and how people, I remember the specific point you said was that people tend to hate them for no reason. And a lot of times it's rooted in misogyny. And while I do agree that a lot of the hate that they receive is unnecessarily rooted in misogyny, as a Black woman, a Black non-binary person, I also see another side of the Kardashians as to where I personally feel like it could be argued that they are scammers. And I am also one of those people that, like, every couple years I will watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians and I'll, like, binge it, and it's a total guilty pleasure. But at the same time, I'm 24, and when the Kardashians started, I think I was in junior high school. I think I was, like, 12 or 13. I was really young. And I remember watching their show and, like, idolizing this, like, super rich lifestyle that, like, obviously I am broken from Chicago. I wasn't going to be living that lifestyle anytime soon. But, you know, I bought the dream and they sold it to me. But as I got older and I started to really critically think about the way women of color are portrayed in the media versus white women, it really opened my eyes. And I don't know, maybe I'll like sit down and actually write this out, but it's something that I was thinking about and just kind of wanted to bring to you all's attention. Basically what I'm trying to say is the Kardashians packaged urban culture for white America in a way where it was palatable for them. Whereas if a Black family full of sisters that, you know, looked this way and were super rich and like had these bodies or whatever, it just wouldn't be the same. The appeal would not be as wide, you know. And I'm not the first person to have this discovery. I know that I am not. I am no genius by any means. But I just think it's something to be thought about, how a lot of the Kardashians' success has come on the backs of Black women by, I hate to say appropriating the culture, but I mean, it is what it is. A lot of articles have been written about Kim and Kylie and Khloe specifically, using the aesthetics of Black women. This is KJ for Scam Wow again. Sorry, I guess my voicemail was like too long, so I'll try to be quick and just wrap it up. But yeah, there are a lot of articles out there about how the Kardashians have used Black culture, specifically Black, the culture of Black women and aesthetics of Black women, to sell products, to benefit without giving any of that back or honestly even any of the credit. I remember there was a story not too long ago about how Kylie was stealing designs from a smaller Black woman who was making clothes, and she was really popular on Instagram, and she was stealing those designs like for her Fashion Nova line or something like that. And she was like stealing the designs and then like blocking the girl so that the girl couldn't even see it. And then other people were like screenshotting, and it was just this big whole thing. And I don't know, I am torn because like you said, I think that they are iconic in the sense that they are strong women that represent that women can make money and be billionaire bosses. But I also think that it goes to say, like, it should not be ignored that they are culture vultures in a sense. And in a way, that is definitely a scam. Not a scam on nearly as crazy a level as, like, half of the podcast that you guys have done. But I think it's a point that, you know, kind of shouldn't be overlooked. Anyways, my social media is at Khalil Jordan underscore on Instagram. I'm probably going to be changing that soon because I'm going to be changing my first name, but oh well, that's my Instagram. That's also my website. So yeah, just a thought. I hope you ladies have a lovely day. Thank you so much for your amazing podcast. I cannot stop listening. It's wonderful. So yeah, have a great day.
Thanks, KJ. That was an almost perfect. That was an almost perfect voicemail.
So nice. Oh, did you play all three parts?
No. That was only the first part of it. KJ has left us a few voicemails, and we're not complaining.
We're not complaining. We're going to keep going.
This is a dialogue, and we love to hear from people.
Hey, this is for the lovely ladies of Scam Wild Podcast. I actually left y'all a message a couple days ago about my theory about the Kardashians, but I have something new to say. I just want to say that a lot of jobs that list themselves as like entry level sales positions are real life scams, and I am absolutely sick of it. I just graduated college and I'm going back to school next year, but in the meantime, I'm looking for just anything so I can save money and not be so poor next time around. And I apply to these freaking entry level jobs like an idiot without doing research on the company beforehand, which is my fault. But then they reach out to me and they schedule these interviews, and then I go through and I like do research on the company, and I'll find like all these amazing, wonderful, flawless reviews, but then there'll be like the reviews that are the real ones that are below the flawless ones where they're like, hi guys, this is a multi-level marketing scam. And this happened to me again today. A company reached out and I researched them, and it turned out to be a fucking multi-level marketing scam. And I was so angry because this is literally like the third time that this has happened to me in the last week. And I called myself actually researching most of these companies before I applied. Clearly I didn't research enough. A lot of these jobs, I end up finding them at first. You know what? What made me so angry was that a lot of the ones that turn out to be scams, I find them on ZipRecruiter, but this one was actually through Indeed. So yeah, I'm tired of these freaking jobs claiming that they're sales opportunities or whatever else, which now I know is just code word for multi-level marketing scam. So thank y'all for putting me on game to these awful, awful, awful scams. I love you guys so much. Your podcast is amazing. At this point, I've probably listened to every episode, yes, since Saturday. Yes, I'm that obsessed. Please keep telling us about all the scams. I am truly obsessed. Have a great day. My name is KJ, by the way. So yeah, love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, KJ.
I think that's such a good point. I feel like we probably talked about the Kardashians
too much.
Or in passing, like I didn't give it that much thought because I don't think they're, it's funny. Like if you ask me, I'm like, oh yeah, great. But then also I'm like, yeah, fuck those guys. Like, you know, I can so easily swing back because it is shitty. And that one time Kylie said she created wigs and then everybody started wearing wigs.
She said that?
Yes.
That's insane.
And the Black community was like, are you crazy?
They do. I think KJ makes a great point that they do make Black cultural more palatable.
Well, they kind of water it down and make their own version of it. Yeah. And then it becomes popular and everyone's like, well, that's already been happening.
Yeah, exactly. So like, why do people care now that you're doing it? No, I understand how they're problematic.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like, I mean, I did like what she did with helping that woman get out of jail. And there's some redeeming qualities, but I do think they also sort of fetishize with the men that they date. They only date black men.
I know.
But I feel bad saying weird. That because we're both white women. So yeah. I don't really feel comfortable commenting on it because I feel like
it's not my thing to say.
Yeah. You know? And it's not, and I don't want to act like I'm an expert on somebody else's cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
But I also, it does make me feel uncomfortable.
It does make me feel uncomfortable. And I think that the Kardashians are problematic. This is my official statement on the Kardashians.
A fish.
They are problematic, but to dismiss them outright with a hatred or an animosity is misogynistic.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Officially.
Official.
Yeah.
But I really officially love this comment and this perspective. And guys, I totally agree. We just love you listeners.
Yeah.
Like we love that.
Thank you guys for taking the time.
You're milling over this and you're thinking about it. And I think that is sort of a big part of our culture right now is that we're getting so much information that it is up to us to then filter and go, well, that's kind of shady.
I know. We can't take anything outright.
We can't. And it's exhausting because we're getting sent so much stuff.
I know. And even job interviews. Like
yes.
Like it's crazy.
And I'll tell you, like I've done that too. I used to go on Craigslist and just like send out 15 job interviews and just hope or applications just to like hope I get something.
Because
when you are in that moment of like sitting by yourself with your computer, it feels so daunting. The future feels so far away. Mm-hmm. You're like, how am I ever going to get a job?
Yeah.
Money feels scary. Everything's scary. And then you get these people that just jump on you. There's a woman trying to sell oils to me on Facebook, another Facebook person. Yeah. And she keeps trying to hang out with me. And I'm like, stop.
Like an MLM? Mm-hmm. Someone you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. MLMs kill guys. Relationships.
They're so bad for relationships.
Guys, thank you so much for this. We love, like, these are my favorite episodes.
They're so fun.
I just feel like we're chatting with all of you, which is how I feel at every episode. But I just really like connecting you because that's my favorite.
And because it makes you all feel less alone in this.
Yeah.
This is a community of people like watching out for each other and not trying to scam each other, you know?
Yes, exactly. And so if you have anything, you can always Instagram us, email us. We're ScamWow Podcast on everything. And then, you know, my favorite, the Hot Tip Hotline, 347-509-9414. And guys, stop apologizing for long messages because we love messages.
They're great.
You can call and call and call. We are here for you. Yes. We're like, what is it that the lady does the psychic hotline?
We are Miss Cleo.
We're Miss Cleo and we don't charge anything, but we will listen.
Take a page from KJ.
KJ, yeah. Keep calling.
Oh, I want to say one more thing is that I revamped our Patreon.
Yes, it's cool.
Yeah, I revamped our Patreon and I made different Patreon support levels. You can either be, there's the Anna Delvey, there's the Caroline Calloway, there's the Elizabeth Holmes, there's the TanaCon, and there's the Fyre Festival. Mm-hmm. So you can join whatever means the most to you, whatever you identify with. Mm-hmm. And once we get 100 patrons, we're going to do an exclusive feed for our Patreon subscribers. Mm-hmm. It's just us like hanging out and being girls and chit-chatting.
Also, guys, we have merch on TeePublic. Yes. And our favorite one is Daddy Fox.
Daddy Fox. What was the quote today that we got to make a t-shirt? Shit. We'll have
guys, to look at somebody message us and tell us what we did. We have Not Crazy, Just Hungry.
Yeah.
American Con Artist.
Yeah.
And you can get them on a hoodie, a mug, a pillow, a tapestry.
A onesie for your child.
Oh, yeah. My baby's going to be wearing lots of these.
And the Patreon is ScamWow Podcast and the TeePublic is ScamWow Podcast as well.
And we can't thank you guys enough. We love you and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
I just waved in the air.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.